located back there to the left, where your little ones can be free to make as much ruckus as they want, and you can still enjoy the service through the speakers. After the service, we have coffee and snacks in Hobart Hall, which is out the front doors to the right. Please grab a yellow mug so that we know you are new here and we can come say hi. If I have a yellow mug, it's not because I'm new, but because it holds twice as much. And sometimes it's still not enough. So, also, there's a newcomers meeting for those who want to learn more about the church. That's at noon in room one. And don't forget about Nehemiah Action tomorrow night. Harborside, tickets are available at the social justice table in Hobart Hall. I'm bringing 6 people. How many are you bringing? So, welcome. I forgot. Lighting the chalice today. Major part of the service. Today's chalice lighter is Declan Ireland. Declan Ireland recently turned 11. He's a 5th grade at Orangewood Elementary. He loves books, screens, and musical theater, most recently appearing as Mowgli in the Florida Reps Alliance for the Arts Spring Break Camp performance of The Jungle Book. He and his Odyssey of the Mind team recently took first place at the regional competition in his category. And they will compete in the state competition at UCF this upcoming weekend. Please wish him luck. His favorite thing is R.E.
Please rise in body or spirit as we join in singing our covenant.
Love is the spirit of this church, and service is law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another.
And please remain risen for hymn number 331, Life is the Greatest Gift.
Amen. Please be seated. This morning, we formally install the 2016-2017 Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers Board of Trustees in celebration of leadership and commitment. And first, I would like for us to give our great thanks for our outgoing board members, Alice Bruner as board president, Renee Savoia as member at large, Susan Forsyth as vice president of ministerial services, and Bob Neese as vice president of operations. Many thanks for your dedication and commitment. And so now I would like to invite the members of the new Board of Trustees to please come forward.
Good morning. I'd like to present the new members of the Board of Trustees for 2016-2017. And with myself, Diane Buckley as president. Alice. And our new president-elect, Steve Eisenberg. Secretary Kathy Heckler. Member at large, Judy Marble. Vice President of Finance, Bruce Marble. Vice President of Operations, Bill Petrarca. There are two members who couldn't be with us this morning. One is the Dr. Wayne Lever. He's out of the country and not able to be here. And he's our Vice President of Ministerial Services. And we also have a treasurer, Jen Smith, and she's had some illness in the family, so I suspect that's why she's not here this morning. And Beth Sexton is our Vice President of Programming, and I would expect her to be here momentarily.
Each new board changes us. Under your leadership, we are shaped by the love and the experiences that you bring. Therefore, new Board of Trustees, through your example, through your devotion and your best judgment, do you commit to leading us toward the best that we can be for ourselves and for our larger community? If so, please respond.
We do.
Continue.
We, the members of the 2016-2017 Board of Trustees, affirm our promise to lead the congregation and serve its visual, financial, and policy needs. We renew our promise to care for church concerns to the best of our ability, in keeping with the Unitarian Universalist purposes and principles we all cherish.
And will the members of our congregation please rise in body or spirit and join the words that are projected above? If we could have the next slide, please. Do you, members of the Unitarian Universalist Church, having chosen these leaders through democratic process, now formally affirm and support this board?
We do.
With great rejoicing.
And formally and solemnly today,
we promise to support you, join our strength to yours, and work towards our
generous and inclusive faith community that
May we find the strength always to keep this covenant we have affirmed today for the benefit of ourselves, the church, and the greater community. We will fulfill our mission to love, grow, and serve. Thank you, our newest leaders, for the gifts that you bring to this community. The stoles which have been placed upon your shoulders are a gift to you for the duration of your leadership. The stole is a reminder of the responsibilities in which you have been entrusted, and they also may serve as a symbol of how this leadership is a part of your own calling and spiritual development. May the people of the church assist you on your continued journey of growth and learning as you renew this church with your energy and with your talents. Beloveds, please add your hand of welcome as these new members turn to their seats.
The Long Road to Freedom by Nelson Mandela. I have walked that long road to freedom. I have tried not to falter. I have made missteps along the way. But I discovered the secret that after climbing a great hill, one only finds there are many more hills to climb. I've taken a moment here to rest, to steal a view of the glorious vista that surrounds me, and to take a look back on the distance I have come. But I can only rest for a moment, for with freedom comes responsibilities, and I dare not linger, for my long walk has not ended.
Good morning. Okay, so if I could have all those of you who are young, or just young at heart, or just feel like getting up and stretching your legs for a second, come on down, come sit with me. So, this morning, I have the Wonder Box. And I need someone to open it for me. Someone who really wants it, I guess. Okay. All right. I'm going to pick the person with the scariest face. The silentest, scariest face. Oh, okay. All right. Take a look in there. Tell me what's in there.
You just look.
Letter? Nothing?
Nothing? Joke's on you. There's nothing in the Wonder Box this morning. That's weird, right? It's the nothing box. Well, do you know why there's not? I guess whatever was in there got out. So if you see something wandering around that's mysterious, no, I'm joking, fine. The reason there's nothing in a box is because our story today is about freedom, about getting out of boxes. And I'm going to read it to you this morning. You ready? This is a story about a beautiful and powerful tiger. There once was a beautiful and powerful tiger. One day she was captured by a very mean and very cruel man who put her into a cage. The man kept the cage in the jungle not far from his house. Every day he would bring out a bowl of water and some food to the lonely tiger. Sometimes the tiger would see her own reflection in the bowl of water, and she would say, "My, I must be a beautiful tiger." When the man heard her say this, he would lie to her, and he would tell her, "No, you are not a beautiful tiger. You are ugly. You are a pitiful creature." And sadly, the tiger believed the man. Some days after she ate her food, she would walk back and forth in her small cage and feel energy and power moving through her body. And she would say, "My, I must be a powerful tiger." And when the man heard her say this, he would lie. He would tell her, "No, you are weak and puny. You are a pitiful creature." And sadly, the tiger believed the man. So then one day, when the man was nowhere around, a lion happened to walk by the cage. The lion saw the tiger inside and spoke to her. "Beautiful and powerful tiger, what are you doing lying about in that cage?" "Don't make fun of me," replied the tiger. "I know that I am neither beautiful nor powerful." "I'm not making fun of you," said the lion. "You are surely the most beautiful and powerful tiger I have ever seen. I'm only surprised to see you lying there when you are clearly strong enough to break out of that cage." "You really think I could break out of here?" asks the tiger. "Quite easily, I should think," replied the lion. The tiger was not sure at first. She had been told so many times that she was a weak and pitiful creature. But suddenly, it seemed that she could feel the energy and strength moving through her body. She began to pace back and forth in her cage, and then, without a thought, she leapt against the cage door, and it flew open without any resistance. Outside, she seemed a little dazed. That cage didn't even have a lock on it. I spent so much of my life stuck in there, and the door wasn't even locked. The lion looked at her with a soft brown eyes and said, "Those kinds of traps don't need locks, for it is the lies we believe in that keep us in our cages, and it is the truth that sets us free." The end. Will you please return to your seats today? Thank you.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'd like to speak with you for a moment about freedom, our theme this month, and reflect on how I interpret it and how it affects me. I'll tell you a little about my own journey to free myself, and this is an ongoing thing because the journey is never really over for any of us. Freeing myself from the mental shackles, from the mental slavery that is my own mind, is one of my top priorities in this life. And I pray that one day I can become one of those very open-minded and grounded individuals that I look up to so very much. Hint, hint. I'd like to talk about something that I myself battle with, that most of you probably have never dealt with, so you may not even know what it is I'm talking about. It's this condition, and it's called procrastination. And the doctor says I'll be okay. It's more common than you think, but still, you know. Some of you might slightly relate, but let me tell you, I am a master procrastinator. I've got it down. I wrote this speech on the car on the way here. Now, I've always looked up to my grandmother, Rose. She's over there. Because growing up, I honestly can't recall a time when she put anything off or broke her word, ever. Now, I don't break my word either, but when it comes to putting things off, I think the gene pool became a little diluted by the time I was born because there's no resemblance there. She made her plans for the day, and before she even had time to think about procrastinating, she was knocking out her to-do list. And I always wished that I had that drive and that consistency. Someone once told me that a person doesn't procrastinate because they're lazy. That's a common misconception. It's more a lack of passion, the passion required to drive you and keep you going until you achieve the end result. And it's also fear. Fear of failure, like, why try? Is it really worth it? And also fear of success. Sometimes success is scarier than failure. If I gain the freedom I seek, life as I know it is going to change drastically. What will I do? Like a tiger in a cage, What will I do if I should someday get back to that mad jungle? That terrifying and mysterious place. What if I get eaten alive out there? What if this cage is just what's best for me? I mean, I have food and water here. That's enough, right? I should be happy to be blessed with a cage. You know, most tigers don't even get a cage. And it's a pretty fashionable cage, if I do say so. Maybe being free isn't really that great after all. I'll think about it. I'll sleep on it. These are some of the things that we tell ourselves to justify putting off our own freedom. Now, I personally know that I have been comfortable in a situation before. Not fulfilled, not complete, not content, but comfortable enough to stay. The cage wasn't that cold and it wasn't too small. But, you know, I still had dreams at night. I secretly and silently yearned for something more. And I just knew that something wonderful is out there somewhere, and it's waiting for me. All I need is an open door so that I might know freedom. Most importantly, freedom of choice. Freedom to leave and even come back if I choose. The freedom to choose. I may not even like the new life that I discover, but I need to see what's out there with my own eyes. I need to decide for myself, and I need to make the exhausting journey towards that oasis. And maybe it's just a mirage, but I need to know either way. We as a free-thinking and multicultural community offer choices, and our faith reminds us that the cage door may not be locked at all. And we encourage you with all of your soul to seek, to dream, to yearn, and most importantly, to break free from that cage that is your mind. Think freely and act freely. Find what it is that makes your heart beat. Strive toward it and embrace the natural changes that life will most certainly bring your way. As a community, it is our job to lift one another up. It is our duty to share with you the spirit of love, to show you what we see when we look at you, even when you don't feel beautiful or strong, when you feel alone. We as a faith acknowledge each other for all that we are, our beauty, our talent, and our flaws. Freedom is the desire of all living things as we know it. To be free is the basic fundamental programming of nature itself. Everything yearns to be free. Lions, tigers, bears, oh my. Even the rose, fighting to be, reaching through the cracks in concrete, desperately aching to feel the freedom that only the sun can prescribe. So now let us be free. Let us free ourselves and free one another. And let us run wild. Run wild in the pursuit of our own happiness. Like the animals and the trees, like the waters that walls cannot contain, like the moon, the sun, and the stars, let us be free. Thank you.
And now let us join into a time of centering, a time to call into this sacred space the joys and the sorrows in our community and beyond. We have bright blessings to send to our very own Vicente LaRocca and Amanda Walker, who are moving, and this is our last Sunday with them. So let us can hold them in our hearts as they move on freely, knowing they can always come back. Also, our member Nancy Fisk, who died this month, we're having an event on her behalf. She did not wish to have a memorial service. We will be hosting a joyful remembrance in Hobart Hall on April 28th at 2 p.m., and all are welcome to join in joyfully remembering. She did not want any hemming or hawing or weeping, so we will joyfully remember her and try not to be sad. Now is our opportunity to take what we have heard this morning, the invitation to freedom, and to join in some moments of quiet together to think of the ways in which you might be invited towards liberation or freedom. So I invite you to close your eyes as you feel comfortable. Perhaps take a deep breath. And join in some moments of quiet in which you can listen to what comes from your mind or heart, what sacred yearnings need to be freed and heard. Peace, shalom, salam, ashe, blessed be. During our time of stones of intention, you may have picked up a stone on your way in, or you can find them at the front and at the sides, and you might present that stone, place it in the bowl of sand as a symbol of something of which you want to be freed of. Or perhaps you place it in the bowl as a remembrance or a symbol of a joy, sorrow, or a milestone in your life. Whatever it may be, it's my prayer that it brings you peace. Thank you. May our prayers be heard and our hearts be restored.
Please join together in singing song number 95, There Is More Love Somewhere.
And now our children take the light of this chalice to their own, to Children's Chapel. From one generation to the next, the light of freedom and truth carries on. Let us join now in singing Go Now in Peace as we sing out our children and teachers to their children's chapel.
Was composed by Linda Hirschhorn. Her parents and older brother escaped the Nazis in Austria, but most of their extended family perished in the Holocaust. The song calls us to respond as a community to the world's need for healing. The composer says that singing in harmony is the ideal of community living, where each person does the thing they do best, and yet works in harmony with everyone else to the betterment of the community.
Keep the circle whole. One of the great aspects of our congregation's 2021 vision, which will be at our 60th anniversary, is to become a more generous and inclusive community and to live into that vision of wholeness. And understanding the notion of freedom is not just about freedom from, but it's also about freedom to. So let me say more about that. Our history as Unitarian Universalists, let's go back to the 16th century. It was a time of heady thought in the European culture around religion. It was a pretty exciting and also very frightening time if you were a heretic. But there was a place in Transylvania, and if I could have the picture up, where there was a king named John Sigismund. And John Sigismund was a king who thought that we really should allow for more religious tolerance here in Transylvania.
and even in all of Europe, all this craziness going on around us, let's make it so that people can ask questions about their faith tradition, and that they can bring in notions of tolerance for one another, that it doesn't hurt me that someone else might have a different viewpoint about the nature of God. And so this is a picture of John Sigismund's bishop, the court preacher, actually, who is in the West known as Francis David. And Francis David was someone who preached Unitarianism, which at the time was the thought that in the face of Catholicism, there were people who were questioning the nature of God, and they wanted to have room to do that. They wanted to look into this understanding of the Trinity and perhaps question even the notions around Jesus as someone who in the Catholic teachings was divine. They were wondering if maybe Jesus was human. And all of these things are obviously heretical thoughts, and they were not accepted in the day by the traditional Catholic Church. But with the sense of tolerance that was purported through 1568 Edict of Torda, take note, all right, the Edict of Torda, it was really quite the radical document which said, we will promote religious tolerance here. And so, unfortunately, King Sigismund died. And then the next king who came along, he was a Catholic king, and he actually thought that we should still promote tolerance, but he really wanted the Unitarians to just kind of keep it on the DL, the down low, under the radar, just keep quiet. And so one of Francis David's friends was a fellow who was the king's advisor. He was still kept on even after Sigismund died, and Biandrata kept whispering over to Francis David, shh. Really, just settle down, like it'll be okay. But Francis David, he couldn't. He went out to the streets and he kept preaching this radical, heretical gospel. And so he ended up in prison. And unfortunately for Francis David, he ended up dying in prison. And so there are notions that we can be imprisoned in our minds, but there are also notions that really we can be imprisoned in lots of different ways for being free thinkers. And that's what I learned. And sometimes I just going to speak personally here, in Lee County, there are moments where I feel like I'm kind of getting caged in a conversation, where suddenly someone is thinking I'm agreeing with them when really I do not. Oh, you know, have you ever had that experience? I see some nods out there. And so how do we continue to be in our own integrity with our own thoughts and our own free-thinking ways and heretical ways for the majority of culture in Southwest Florida, and continue to stay in integrity and stay connected and understanding that we are part of a whole and that we are all connected? There's a notion out there that everyone's liberation is bound up in everyone else's. And so I have to start thinking about how I can have conversations with people where I'm allowed to be in my own sense of freedom and integrity while also making space for their own thoughts and views that may be radically different from mine. At the same time, my own freedoms, I can express at any time. So there are times where I have to open my mouth. There was one time, I don't know if I've told this story, I think I have, where I was in an interfaith clergy gathering and Sheriff Scott was there. Have I told you this story before? And I was going to keep my mouth shut. And because Sheriff Scott has over time, to me, has indicated that he is Islamophobic and also indicates to me that he is a part of a white supremacist system. And so he's expressing that racism, whether or not he considers himself a racist. And so I thought I would go to this place and open my heart to him and understand him better. And so I sit there, and who sits right beside me but him? And so I say, please tell me how things are going. How are things going for you in your work? Just to connect. And instead, what he says to me is he begins to launch into me about people who are illegal, and who you don't know who's on the streets anymore, and then begins to tell the entire group that we should all be arming ourselves with guns, What he doesn't say, however, is that, of course, he's talking to white people. So I found that I had to ask him and have a conversation with him. Now, he probably doesn't remember because I'm just this little Unitarian Universalist girl minister. But I remember those moments. And I'm reminded of even how each and every one of us have our own freedom, we also have the container around us of being part of a whole and being interconnected with everyone else. And so there's always a balancing act in understanding our own freedom and how it relates to other people's. You know, tomorrow is the anniversary of the death of Martin Luther King Jr. Tomorrow is a day where we're reminded how powerful it can be when people speak the words that are liberating and emancipating, and how very threatening it can be to those who continue to benefit from systems that are oppressive. It's a powerful notion that also tomorrow we are gathering for our Lee Interfaith for Empowerment Interfaith Justice Gathering, the Nehemiah Action, where every year we take on large injustices in Lee County and find the problem, come up with solutions, and then invite the powers and the principalities that be to make commitments that will create systemic long-term change. So last year, our accomplishment is that the city of Fort Myers has implemented a fair chance hiring policy so that for all city jobs, if you fill out an application, there is no longer a box that asks you if you have an arrest or conviction record. So that is systemic change. And we're taking that to Cape Coral. We're going to take it to Lee County so that the Ban the Box initiative can be something that brings liberation to so many who are coming out from, who are rehabilitated, who deserve a second chance. But this year is about unsolved murders in our city. That for all the unsolved murders that we have had for the past 5 years, only half of those have led to arrests. In the city of Fort Myers, when you start looking at the demographics, it's also an underserved communities who are historically marginalized in Fort Myers who are most affected. And so when thinking about freedom, I wonder how free someone feels when they're worried every day about their child leaving the house. What does that feel like? What does it feel like when it becomes a normal conversation to talk about the shooting that happened and that you were spared by God that the bullets didn't hit your grandchild? Think for a moment about the children in your lives, the children in our nursery, and what it must be like to be responsible for those lives and yet to be in a community where there is a lack of trust in the law enforcement and in the judicial system because there are still murderers on the streets. And so tomorrow we are gathering in the spirit of freedom. In the spirit of freedom, not just for us as individuals who are able to dissent freely, but as those who have freedom to say yes to justice and to say yes to solidarity for those who are feeling this sense of injustice in our community. For we understand that what touches the web here touches us all. So I invite you to consider for yourselves, if you had a date tomorrow night that wasn't coming to the Harborside Event Center at 6 o'clock, I want to invite you to reach into your heart and to think about what it feels like to have that experience of injustice in your life day to day. I want for you to reconsider how long the drive is to Harborside. I want you to reconsider how long that drive is when you can think about what someone experiences in these underserved communities and how awful it must feel. I want you to reconsider if you're worried about how late it is or that your child will be past their bedtime. Mine is going to be a mess. But she will also be there because I care about her as much as I care about all the other children. And I can't imagine what it would be like to have that experience. But it's my job not to want to have that experience, but to try to help make it better. And so for we in this culture of dissent, of being heretics, we have the opportunity to be free from a lot that's around us, to have a sort of refuge where you can hug on your loved one, even if you're of the same sex. You don't have to worry about giving each other a kiss and holding hands, where you can freely talk about being an atheist and that it's okay and no one is going to whisper when you're turning your back, where you can freely talk about your radical ideas and know that there's a even if we don't agree amongst ourselves, that we have the spirit of love amongst us. So there's a lot of freedom from, but today I'm asking you to consider your freedom to say yes and to show up tomorrow night. To show up not only for the children, but to show up for all those grown-ups and to show up for yourselves so that you can grow your soul to come together. How many of you have been to a Nehemiah action? It's an incredible experience to see all the people gathered in one place, 17-member congregations, people of faith and conscience who have come together to do justice together. And we do a little chant. We say, "Life for justice. Life for justice." And it is for all lives. It is to make the circle whole that we together come tonight, tomorrow night, to circle round for freedom, to circle round for the whole. And so even though En Vogue sang, "Free your mind and the rest will follow," if we free our minds, if we are the free thinkers we say we are, then we have to take that free thinking into free activity and to roll on into those spaces. And to show up for love, and to be on the side of love. For that indeed is the most liberative thing to do, is to be a part of something larger than ourselves, and to join freely with great rejoicing to do the work of justice. And just think, all you have to do is show up. May it be so. Tickets are available at the social justice table after the service. Please make a beeline there, fill it out, show up at 6 o'clock, free parking at the garage. The drive will be worth it. The time will be worth it. It will be worth it for the whole. Blessed be. Amen.
Please rise in body or spirit and join together in singing number 287, Faith of the Larger Liberty.
Knowledge.
Please be seated.
Every month we designate a partner in our community who enlivens our liberal religious values. And this partner this month is actually something that benefits this community, and it is the minister's discretionary fund. Now, the discretionary fund is something that I am able to use to help members of our congregation who are having difficult times financially. I have used this fund to write checks to help pay for light bills, groceries, gas, and sometimes to purchase bus passes and gas cards for those who come who are in need. It is one of the ways that we reflect that we are a generous congregation. It has been used to help pay medical bills and transportation costs for treatment. It is indeed an important fund to fund. And one of the reasons is because often we want to be generous with one another, but you don't necessarily want to have that embarrassing moment where you're handing a check to one of your fellow members. This is a way in which I can funnel that through to the person, and it can be given anonymously from all of the church. And so it doesn't come from me, it comes from you. So think about someone you know who might be struggling in our community. Think about them, and if you know that they're financially struggling, I want you to take the time to reach out to them and remind them that the minister's discretionary fund is available to them to be of assistance. And when you write your check today, I want to invite you, or you put the large wads of cash in the plate, I want to remind you and allow you to call to mind and heart someone you know who is experiencing financial hardship. And understand that this is one of the ways that we direct energy and show love to our membership, and that you are the ones who make it happen. And so the morning offering will now be given and generously and gratefully received. You're going to rise in body or spirit now and join in the unison words as we receive your beautiful generosity today. By the work of our hands and the work of our hearts, our love is made real.
May we be grateful for all that is given and grateful for all that is shared. And now let us join in singing Carry the Flame as we extinguish our chalice this Sunday. I'll see you at Harborside Event Center for our Nehemiah action.
And join together in singing song number 1018. Come and go with me to that land. We're singing verse 2. There'll be freedom in that land.